These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and on the air today we're bringing the message, what is probably one of the most difficult of all commands to fulfill, the 11th commandment, that ye love one another. It's, I suppose, the right thing, and it's the natural thing for us to love the Lord. And he is perfect, he is gracious, and all that he has done for us, our hearts burn that we might love him all the more. But how do we love our fellow Christians, those that we worship with, those that we walk in this world, those with whom we witness before the world? Many times they are unlovely and unkind to us, and sometimes we find them difficult. And yet, we are commanded to love one another. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And to see, this is a very unnatural thing. You'll not find it in other quarters, but you ought to find it in the church of the Lord Jesus. And you ought to find it among those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, it is true that wherever we go and we hear someone blessing, using the name of the Lord Jesus reverently and as a witness, that we are drawn to that witness. And whether it is at home, at the other end of the world, where we hear people loving, praising the name of the Lord Jesus, well, we feel that we are one of them. And that is the mark of the new birth. That's the mark of a new heart. And today we're going to look at these things as we turn to the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, Canada.
Read it, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, now, it's John, isn't it? It's John, the beloved disciple. And he himself is addressing fellow Christians, and he's calling them beloved. That's endearing. He's a winning person. He's a magnet. He's not driving people away. He's seeking to win them, even in this letter that he's writing. And in the middle of it, he's saying beloved. And you'll notice he started with that in chapter 4, 1, beloved. And now again, he comes down to verse 7, beloved. It's a bit like a husband and wife, and when you've got something hard to say, you say, dear, you know that I love you, but, and then you come in with what you have to say. And that's sort of what John is doing. He's expressing and reconfirming his love for these readers, that they take this on board, beloved. And he includes himself here. He doesn't say, this is something for you to do, you to work on. No, he says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See how it's your testimony here? See how it is the genuineness of your profession? And he goes on in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know what it's like when you meet a son? Maybe you're in a public place and you meet a son and he says, well, you don't know me, but you know my dad, right? And yes, you know your dad. You went to school with him. You grew up with him. You know him very well. You know him inside out. You know what kind of person he is. And here now is a son. And your expectation is that the son is going to be like the father. It's not always true, of course, but that's the expectation. And if it turns out to be a horrible person, you would say, well, he's no real son of him. He might have his genes, but he doesn't have his nature. And if we are professing that God is our Father, then we ought to so love, because God is love. Let's just read on here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Then down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now that's not very hard logic. It's very simple. If you say that you are the son of the God of love, you are his child, then the mark, the genuineness of that testimony is the love that flows out of your life. The loving, caring, Christian love that you express and that you show forth in your own life. Now, the Lord does not mean a phony, sickly kind of love, but, and it's not just mere niceness. No, this is ministry. Remember the Lord washing the disciples' feet? That was the beginning of this whole long discussion that's got 5 chapters? Five chapters in one gospel? One evening's talk between the Lord and his disciples? And it began with that seeming strange behavior of the Lord taking the towel and the water and washing the disciples' feet. And then he gives this triple commandment, love one another. It should be seen, it should be evident, it should be obvious. Here is one who loves to minister, to serve. And so it is much more than just going up to someone and saying, I have the love of Jesus in my heart and I love you. That just may not wash. But if you turn out to be a helpful, caring, consistent friend in times of need, then your testimony grows. And that's your opportunity for testimony. It's also an opportunity for growth. I noted in 1 John 4:17 the word perfected. 1 John 4:17. And usually in the New Testament where you have that word perfected, it doesn't mean that you are sinlessly perfect, but it means that you are mature. And when it says here in this verse, herein is our love made perfect, it means it's growing, it's abounding, it's shining forth. And Christian love is our opportunity for growth. Now, do you want to know if you're really growing as a Christian? Here's the way to test it. Here's the way to measure it. Here's the way by which we will be known. And so this is a big area for growth. Back in verse 12, you have something very similar. And it says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Now, we're all creatures and we're limited. Perfection with us is not really on, but it's growing, it's advancing, it is abounding, and it ought to be. I don't know how long you've been coming to our church, but I've been preacher here since we opened this building in 82, and beyond that, the commencement of the congregation 84, that's a lot of years. I put myself on the weigh scales here by asking you, do you think I love people more now than I did then? How would you answer that? And I know I'm exposing myself before you here. Do I care for your soul more today than the first time you ever came to this church? That ought to be the case. As I look into my own heart, I'm challenged because this is big. This is beyond us. This is our weakness here. And the only way it can be at all possible is that I'm a branch in the vine and the love of Jesus is flowing into our lives constantly. The only way I can love my brothers and sisters is when the love of Jesus is flowing into me. Not last week, last year, but each day. That's why we need daily fellowship and communion, prayer and Bible time with the Lord, that his Spirit is pouring in more of the love of Jesus into our hearts every day so that we are growing. Now, I could use another test and say, do I know more about the Bible now than I did in 1984 when I came to Canada to first preach? And I can honestly say I know my Bible better. I can say that. After years of preaching through the Bible, I know my Bible better. And that's a fair measure. But it's not what the Lord is saying and asking for. The standard he is saying here, do you love your fellow believers, one another, more than before? Love one another. There's the challenge for growth. And then we come to the opportunity for ministry. And every one of us are called to serve. And this is our priority in ministry. Back to 1 Corinthians 13 again. No matter what my gifts and talents, no matter what my self-sacrifice, if I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, I am nothing. So it is the priority of ministry. It's also the abiding standard of ministry, because in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 13, I'm lost. Here we are. We're going to get to it here. 2 Corinthians, verse 13. The last verse, chapter 13, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we might boast of, oh, my faith is so much stronger. I've got a better reassurance than I ever had before. But the real measure is love. And it says, now abideth. It's the thing that ought to be our primary and priority in ministry. And then chapter 14, 1 in 1 Corinthians, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Pursue it. And seek opportunities for ministry. Now, I want to close today with a little scan of the book of Ephesians. You know, when you come to the word love and you get your concordance or your Bible concordance and your computer out, and you look up all the word love, you're going to get thousands of the word love going up here. So you could go on a long time on this. But let's take one small book in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and let's see what the Apostle Paul does with this same essential, important practice that the Lord emphasized so greatly to his disciples before he let them loose to go and minister. Let's look at this book of Ephesians and start at chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, that's commendable. Walk worthy. And the ingredients of worthy walking is all laid out here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I highlighted those two words, in love. Long suffering without love is not going to cut it. It's like lining up, and we're all doing a lot of lining up these days. And you stand in line with a grumpy attitude. And you maybe minister to your brother and sister, and you do it with a cold, yeah, you do your duty, but it's a cold attitude. No, Paul says, walk worthy with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. And you know what forbearing means? Putting up with the irksomeness of others. None of us are perfect. We all rub each other the wrong way sometimes, but we are to forbear in love. And this is our key to unity. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. You got to work at this. It's like what I said, initiate and irrigate. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. And in love, we keep the unity of the bond of peace. There is nothing more precious than the fellowship of the saints in unity. But that takes the effort, the obedience to obey the 11th commandment by each and every brother and sister in the Lord. And this is our love in action. Going out of chapter 5, verse 2, therefore, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Paul builds on what the Lord Jesus taught. There is absolute agreement, both in the principle and in the motivation, with Paul as in the Lord Jesus. And this ought to be our walk. Then chapter 6, 19, it translates into our call to minister in prayer. Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. But the one I want to get to is verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The most valuable, the most precious, and the most consistent way we can demonstrate our love for each other is to pray for each other. Supplication for the saints. You would not want a pastor that refuses to pray for you. I probably will never say that. You know, you phone up and say, Pastor, I have a problem. I want you to pray for me. And he says, oh, yeah. He just takes it flippantly. Doesn't take it seriously. And I must say, I have a conscience about taking phone calls and people maybe speak to me, pray for me. And I say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'm going to be held accountable to that. If I say, yes, I'll pray for you, then I better do it. And I need a heart that doesn't even need to be called upon. Will you please, please? I don't need to be begged to pray for someone's concern. But rather, I will offer that. And maybe that is the beginning part of an expression of Christian love in saying to your brother and sister, I know you're hurting. I understand something of what you've been going through. And I am praying for you, and I'll continue to pray for you. And if in the prayer meeting of the church, we take that together, those prayer requests, these are the expressions of true, personal, sacrificial, foot-washing perspective Christian love. Praying for... Now, I am so thankful for people who pray for me, and I believe many, many, many do. But I have to say, the chief, ultimate, highest experience as a pastor is to hear the prayer of a congregant praying. That's the highest, that's the greatest, that's the most blessed. Now I close with this. Jesus also said we're to pray for our enemies. And that really stood a lot of things on their head. Whoever taught that before? And when he said that with Pharisees and Sadducees in hearing, that was just blew the out of the water. Pray for your enemy. This is Christianity. And whether it's in war, you pray for your enemies. Whether it's in business, you pray for those that are hurting you. Or in your family, when problems come, the best healing medicine is to pray for the one that's hurting you. And you're going to get the healing first. You're going to enjoy the balm of that blessing in your own soul first. Because you know what the saying is, that bitterness is like acid. It eats from the inside out. But when you bow the knee and pray in the love of Christ for the one that's hurting you, that heals you. And it enables you to express and extend the love and ministry of the Savior to the one that needs. And the Lord will greatly bless you for that.
Thank you again for listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you have been helped and challenged by the message today, that you will put this in practice, that you will go out and heal relationships. Indeed, the Christian ought to be always working to heal relationships, not to offend, but to avoid offense, giving none offense, and seeking to unite God's people in the fellowship of the gospel. Our lives should be ministers of unity, calling God's people to stand together for the name and the honor of the Lord Jesus. And as we preach the truth, as we walk in the light, as the Lord is in the light, then we will be that unifying influence. Now, of course, there are those who hate the truth, and they hate the Lord, and they do not desire to be any part of the fellowship of the saints. That's separation from the world, and we are called to be separated unto the gospel. But where there are a people seeking to love the Lord and serve the Lord, we ought to be a part of that ministry. And I hope that today you will give your heart and your life. And what blessing it will bring, what joy it will bring into your soul. When you get on your knees to pray, you will find that God will meet with you and he will strengthen you because you have sought earnestly to minister in grace to those that perhaps just need that word of help. Now, thank you for being a part of the program here, and it is our prayer that these programs will help you and each one who joins in day by day as we let the Bible speak. In a few seconds, we're coming to our announcements, and I hope that you'll have pen and paper ready. Jot down the phone number, email, or the website that you might be in touch, and I look forward to hearing from you that you have been listening in, blessed through God's word, and strengthened to serve him. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.